Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here on this Friday the 13th. But it was all good for the Pelicans last night as they did play on the road, minus Anthony Davis, that does need to be said, winning 104-95 over the, I guess we can call them, hapless Brooklyn Nets is probably the best adjective to use them. Pelicans don't have a lot of talent, really, without Anthony Davis on there. And they managed to kind of take it to the Brooklyn Nets over the final, you know, let's say the second half of the fourth quarter to get a much-needed victory and keep up with the other teams fighting for the eighth seed in the Western Conference. Portland won. The Nuggets won. I can't remember if Sacramento played or not, but basically those are the three teams they're competing with, and two of them won. So you got to win yourself, and you know, not having Anthony Davis, it's going to be a tough challenge, even against the worst team in the league. But the Pelicans managed to get it done. We're going to talk about who played well, who didn't. We'll get previews up, or I'll get you guys a preview for the Bulls game this coming Saturday. That's an early tip-off, 4 o'clock here, Central Time, bit odd. And then they travel again to finish up the road trip on Monday on Martin Luther King Day at the Indiana Pacers. That's going to tip off at 3 p.m., another really early game, but a lot of people have off, so that's why they always used to do it. Pelicans used to play at home every year on Martin Luther King Day, and I think the game would tip off at like 12 or 1, if I can remember correctly. But it was a very early tip just for all the kids being out of school. It's nice to get them at a game, so it's a nice thing to do. So we're going to have a pretty full Locked On Pelicans here for you all. Should be a lot of fun. Getting a win, a victory is always a good one. 2017 starting to turn a bit around for the Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, is on Audioboom, any podcast app you use. So make sure you are subscribed, that you like it, that you share it. That way you're going to get the podcast whenever it comes out. And you know, you guys know I try and get them out at 6 a.m. Had some personal issues this week, kind of delayed everything. Dog surgery was successful. I had a herniated disc. Everything's good there. But it caused me to get the podcast up a little late the other day and skip one just because I was running around dealing with everything. But if you're subscribed to it, you're going to get the podcast the time it comes out always. That way you know you don't need to go searching for it and trying to find out, is it out? Is it not out? Did you miss something? This way it's already done. The work's done for you. So make sure you're subscribed. If you can rate it 5 stars anywhere, that's always a good thing too. It's been a lot of fun doing this. Don't forget about the Locked On NBA podcast once a week with the host of the head of the network, David Locke. Catch up on news around the league. And look, you know, the NFL is not just an in-season thing anymore. It's all year round, and the best way to keep up with the Saints is going to be Locked On Saints. Only podcast coming to you guys 5 days a week, talking about what you want to hear. Like I said, not getting this anywhere else. So make sure you're subscribed, that you're liking it, that you're sharing it, so you're caught up with everything on a daily basis. So it was announced before the game that Anthony Davis was going to be out with the hip injury that he suffered against the Knicks on Monday when he fell after the hard foul from Kylo Quinn, which got him ejected from the game and fined. Bit disappointing considering this is a game the Pels needed to win, and it's like I said, they're fighting three other teams for the eighth seed. You got to play and you got to try and win these games. And I guess maybe the Pelicans either didn't want to risk Anthony Davis being out for an extended period of time, thought they could win, or just he was too hurt and couldn't play, and that was that, and he wasn't going to fight through it. So the Pels end up winning 104 to 95. Good win. Any win without Anthony Davis at home on the road doesn't matter, is a good win for the Pelicans. But it was in the second quarter that this game kind of made you nervous. Pels put up 35 in the first. Brooklyn scored 31. They had a nice 4-point lead. And then the Pels come out and score 16 points. And you're kind of sitting there thinking, watching this game, Yeah, there's just not enough offense, you know, without Anthony Davis. He had that monster game on Monday. He's, you know, by far the best player on this team. Not no one else even remotely close. And maybe they just don't have enough firepower to get it done. And 16 points in the second quarter while Brooklyn scores 26 and flips that 4-point lead to a 6-point deficit. Kind of nervous. Makes you wonder if the Nets are going to get their ninth win of the season here. And yeah, I definitely thought the same way. But hey, people stepped up. People played hard. And the Pelicans were just kind of trying to find their way in the beginning. They've had Davis in the lineup for a little while. They've been running this small lineup for, I think it's 8 games. It's been starting now. And this kind of threw off their continuity and the plan that they've been going with for those 8 games, basically since right around Christmas time. So, you know, the Pels started Omer Asik, his first time playing in a very long time. They started Terrence Jones and dropped Dante Cunningham to the bench. So I guess the small lineup really is only unlocked with Anthony Davis. You can't run that same kind of small lineup. And the small lineup, again, is considered playing without really a power forward or a traditional power forward, a traditional second big. And that's why they roll out Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, Anthony Davis. It's not going to be those two first guys and then Omer Asik, or those first two guys and Terrence Jones. And didn't do that tonight. They went kind of with their – or last night, they went with their big lineup-ish. And – It struggled. Omer Asik is rusty. He hasn't played in a long time. He picked up 2 fouls, had to sit down. Alexei Ajinsa comes in. He's, again, there's a reason these guys aren't playing. They're just not good. For the night, those guys, what was it? Asik scored a good 2 points in just 6 minutes or so. Alexei Ajinsa only played 3 minutes, scored no points. So they started these guys and then realized it didn't work and went away from it. And Monty Yunus came in, Terrence Jones started playing a little bit more, and the Pelicans largely just went without a center, kind of, for an extended period of time. But the only big they got good play from was Terrence Jones, who played close almost 38 minutes. It was 10 of 17 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, did not shoot well at the line, 3 of 9. Scored 12 rebounds, which I think was is a season high for him. And 24 points. And we've seen without Davis out there, he can actually play pretty well. In the games Davis has missed, he hasn't been atrocious. Jones is not a starting caliber guy. He's probably not even the first big you want off the bench. But in the right situation and against a pretty putrid team, he can have a good offensive game. He struggled defensively. It was pretty rough at times watching him try and guard Brook Lopez, who was shooting threes from out on the perimeter. And, you know, the Pelicans defenders, Jones in particular, were sagging off of him like he was a threat to drive to the rim, which was not what was going to happen. And if he did, he'd be so slow you could get rotation, even though the Pelicans don't rotate particularly well. They can rotate over to cover Brook Lopez, I can tell you that much. And would just sag off him, leading to wide-open three-pointers for Brook Lopez. He took 6 in the game. He only made 1. That 1 was over Terrence Jones, so not a good look there. It's like I said, I know people really want to like Jones and they love how cheap his contract is. And I got asked on Twitter the other day, and I'm going to kind of respond to it here. Do you see him coming back to the team on like a longer, bigger deal, or is he a vet minimum kind of guy still? He's going to get a little bit more money than what he got this season next year, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Pelicans try and keep him. But just because he has 1 or 2 good games like this, it doesn't mean he's in line for like a $6 million a year contract. Until we start seeing some deals get out and start projecting some for overall, it's tough to see what he's going to command. But you can see he leaves a lot to be desired in his play. But he had a good game tonight, and you got to be happy with that. You know, he stepped up. The Pelicans needed someone to step up. He was one of the guys that did it. Before continuing to tell you guys what happened in the fourth quarter, and the Pelicans went on a heck of a run. And like I said, I was worried in the second quarter about this game. The third quarter, things kind of just went back and forth, very uneven. And then in the fourth quarter, you started to see them get some momentum, and then they hit this streak, and my goodness, was it good. But before I tell you about all that and we go into who really kind of saved the day for the Pelicans, I got to mention this to you guys. You guys have heard me mention it before, and that is SeatGeek. The best way you can get tickets to any event. Look, it's fun to watch these games on TV. It's fun to listen to the podcast, to read the articles, but sometimes you just want to be in on the action, and SeatGeek is the best way to do it. It's a ticket aggregator. It's going to take tickets from all over the internet, put them all on the app for you, And you can look and search for the best price. Sometimes tickets are listed for different prices in different sites. SeatGeek is going to make sure you get the lowest price. Efficiency, we always talk about that in basketball. It's a good thing. SeatGeek is going to help with that. They're going to save you money. And more than that, they're going to rate the tickets on, you know, give it a grade and tell you whether these are a good buy or not a good buy based off other tickets that are being sold and everything too. That's a great thing to make sure you're not getting ripped off. Heck, I use it all the time. You guys have heard me mention it about Saints games. I used it to go to the Sugar Bowl. Got tickets near at the last minute. It was great. They had a location where you just walk over, picked up the tickets because none of them were available to be emailed. Picked up the tickets, walked right to the Superdome. Super easy. It was on the Oklahoma side. It was pretty fun. Oklahoma won, so that was a good side to be on. But SeatGeek is the best way to get in on the action to get tickets for anything you need. And what's really nice is for Locked On Pelicans listeners, we've got a promo code that's going to give you a $20 rebate on your first order. You're going to get free money for trying this out. Save yourself a little bit something. So download the app from the Google Play Store, the iTunes Store, wherever it is. Go open the SeatGeek app. Go to enter settings, enter promo code, put in L-O-Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, L-O-Pelicans, you're going to get a $20 rebate, you're going to get to the game you want to go to, you're going to get to watch everything, be part of the action. It's the best way, so download the SeatGeek app today. And the fourth quarter, so like I said, you were nervous about this game. It looked like the Pelicans are going to really drop what should have been a winnable game against the worst team in the NBA, lose ground on this playoff race. And I said, this team needs to figure out, and they're going to wait until the trade deadline probably to make any moves. It's a couple of weeks away, about six or so, to make a move. If they're not in the playoff team, they're not going to mortgage their future and give up first-round picks. If they're right in the thick of it, and think they have a very good shot, yeah, they probably make a move. I think that's what it is. And, you know, a playoff team's going to beat the Nets. A non-playoff team isn't going to beat the Nets. It seems kind of simple, kind of cut and dry. So it looked like they were going to drop this game, and it was going to be annoying. Everyone's going to be sad. And I said we're going to have the angry cast on today. And not the case. The fourth quarter, about the second half of the fourth quarter kind of going down, you know, as the game's winding down, Pelicans went on a 13-1 scoring run, giving them the 104-95 win. And that was largely because of Terrence Jones, as I just talked about, his play, you know, kind of saving it. He even had an amazing dunk at the rim. Evans is dribbling the ball, kind of being harassed a little bit. Passes it over to Jones, who made a move, took a step or two forward, faked a behind, like a very aggressive behind-the-back pass, kept the ball, palmed it, and went up for the dunk and threw it down, and just, my goodness, is it a play? You know, that's where he gives people a lot of hope that he's better than he actually is. But hey, he did it tonight, and it's unbelievable. Definitely take a look at that highlight if you haven't seen it yet. But for the rest of the team, who kind of carried him towards the end? Some of it was Jrue Holiday shooting threes. He finished 4 of 6 on the night, 7 of 15, for 21 points. His three-pointers were very key in this game as he hit one or two down the stretch that really elevated the Pelicans. Three-pointers are the great equalizer, of course, in the NBA. And it can give you a lot of energy when one of your guys makes one, especially in a tight game that gives you some separation. It's a bit of a sigh of relief. It's like a second goal in soccer when you're up, you know, 1-0. That second goal just makes you have so much more of a cushion. And he kind of provided that a little bit for the Pelicans last night. But the main guy was Tyreke Evans, who had his best game since being back. And you still get bad Tyreke Evans at times. Let's not lie here. But for the most part, he's looked kind of like a different player. And whether that he's less aggressive and he's more focused on shooting, maybe he just doesn't have the same explosiveness as after all of the knee surgeries and the surgeries he's had here to get to the rim. He finished 10 of 15 on the night. 2 of 4 from 3 in his shot, and I talked about it, has looked much better. Watch the ball when it comes off of his hand. You can immediately tell if it's going in or not. If he gets good rotation, good spin on that ball, it's going in. And you can see it. If he doesn't, then it might be a miss. But his shot looks a little bit better. It's still not as consistent as you like it to be. But he's worked on it a lot in the time he's been injured. But on the night, he finished with 29 points. Like I said, 2 of 4 from 3. The rest of it was pretty good shots at the rim, attacking at the right time. He got to the line 7 times, 7 of 7. Outside of Anthony Davis, there's no one else who draws free throws on this team. So Evans, in limited minutes, he played, well, not last night, but overall has been limited. He played 27 and a half minutes last night. Can get the line, you know, 6-7 times a game. That's a huge boon for the Pelicans. They really need that. And he showed old Tyreek, and he carried this team towards the end. So it was a good performance from him. Gives you hope that maybe he could become a tradable asset. Expirings aren't that valuable right now, but with the salary cap being revised a little bit lower for next year than people thought, teams that were anticipating a bigger rise in the cap might actually need an expiring to get under to be able to sign a max guy. That's where Evans might really be able to come into play to be a tradable asset. But that remains to be seen just yet. Other good performers for the Pelicans, Solomon Hill. He scored in double figures, 14 points and 10 rebounds. He hasn't always been a great rebounding player. He hasn't been a great rebounder here for the Pelicans, often grabbing two or three or whatever it is. So it's nice to see him get into double figures there. The Pelicans needed this. They were struggling to rebound at a certain point against this team. In the second half, they clamped down with the small lineup without a traditional center. They can rebound with that lineup. These guys are working hard and also playing, you know, a team that's as kind of hapless as the Nets are, certainly, you know, helps everything as well. But at clampdown, I think the Nets only grabbed one offensive rebound in the second half. Again, that's going to help you win. Brooklyn scored 14 second chance points. Limiting them in that area is only going to be, you know, a good thing. So overall, you know, a bit of a mixed game for other Pelicans players. We haven't talked about Etuan Moore in a while, and nice signing, you know, whatever he's making a year, I'm blanking on it right now, but overall, he's just not a difference maker. Buddy Hield struggled this game, 2 of 9 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3 for only 5 points. It's okay, though. You know, he had a layup towards the end of the game that was pretty key in that 13-1 run. He's going to have up and down games. The whole team seemed a little off. Maybe it's that New York City nightlife kind of killed him a little bit before this one. This game, though, shows those centers aren't really needed in Oshik, Ajinsa. Monte Yunus played almost 19 minutes, didn't make a shot, 0-for-7, struggled. Just an off night for the Pelicans overall. So it was a bit disappointing to see Langston Galloway 0-for-6. Guys missing left and right. Even Solomon Hill was 5-for-10. He'd like to be over 50%. Though he did make 2 threes. But, you know, this isn't a very good team without Anthony Davis. It's when he doesn't play, the win kind of goes out of their sails. So any win without AD on the court, you know, the Pelicans' main guy, is a good win. So who cares if it's ugly? Who cares if they struggled at times to a very bad team? When AD, if AD's in this lineup, they wreck this team. It'll be okay. And hey, they're still in the playoff race. They didn't lose any ground. That's the big takeaway from this one. Next up for the Pelicans, going to be playing tomorrow in Chicago on the road. Like I said, early tip-off at 4 p.m. here, Central in New Orleans. So local time is that. If you want to watch the game, keep that in mind. Davis, probably still going to be a game-time decision. You have to figure he'll play. It's his hometown team. They really need this win again still. You know, almost close to a week of rest should be fine for him. Bulls team isn't particularly good. They kind of look good to start the year. I think they, for a little while, were in the 3 spot in the East. Now they're out of the playoffs, sitting at 9th in the Eastern Conference playoff race. Jimmy Butler had been sick. He didn't play the other night, but I think he's expected to play tomorrow against the Pelicans, which is kind of disappointing. I mean, that's the big one for them. If he's not playing, this is a walk in the park for the Pelicans. Big thing against them, they don't take a lot of threes. They're not good at the threes they take. They are worst in three-pointers attempted, last in the league, fewest, and also worst at shooting them in three-point percentage. They shoot 31.5% from three overall. Not good. So basically, if the Pelicans are hitting their three-point shots, the Bulls don't really have a chance. It's a simple matter of math. They're making twos, Pelicans are making threes. Good luck winning. At a certain point, just the it's too much to overcome. So defense needs to sag off the Bulls on the perimeter. Take away drives the lane. Make them shoot threes. If they start hitting them, then you can adjust and try and get out there and defend them. But at least make them shoot it first. They're a very good offensive rebounding team, so the Pelicans need to be stout on the glass. You need good efforts from Dante Cunningham, from Solomon Hill. Anthony Davis, you know, is going to be able to do it. And then you're going to probably need Monta Ellis in there as well, taking away Brook Lopez at times for them. Going to be nice to see the former Hornet out there, always a fun player to watch. But basically, there's just not a ton of talent. You have Dwayne Wade, you have Rondo, you have Butler. It's their three guards that aren't very, you know, Butler is great, but Wade's older. Rondo seems like he's worn out his welcome there, as always happens. Talking about a guy who has such a good reputation around fans in the league that everyone else seems to kind of hate now. So they're going to look to trade him, you'd assume. But basically, it's another winnable game. This Eastern Conference road trip for the Pelicans was a good way to get into the thick of the playoff race, to entrench yourself in that battle. And they need to win this one to keep it going. So just don't get killed by a three-point shot against them. At least make them shoot it. To start with, don't let them get easy looks at the rim. Interior defense is important. Good rotation. Sag off the guys. It makes that easier. Pelicans can win this game. So thank you all for listening. Sorry, this one was a little bit late. I'll be back to regular time on Monday to get that out early for the preview against Indiana, a team the Pelicans have beaten at home in overtime. That should be a good one as they end the road trip before coming back on Wednesday to the Smoothie King Center against the Orlando Magic. So should be a fun game. They should be able to take that one too, potentially. It'll be a tougher one, but a good game to end the road trip on. Hopefully the Pelicans win tomorrow night against the Bulls, kick the weekend off right, not make everyone depressed and sad. That's all never going to be a good thing. So enjoy your Friday the 13th. I will be back with you all on Monday.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.